I'm Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. I was the first.
One of you will betray me.
I'm Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. I was the first to bring someone to the Lord when I brought my brother Peter to Jesus. I also found a little lad with 5 loaves and 2 fish that day when Jesus fed the 5,000. As I watched him feed so many with so little, I was glad in my heart that I had decided to serve the Lord by just being myself. He must have seen something of value in me that the others overlooked, because he selected me to be one of the 12 apostles. We have shared many triumphs and many tragedies. I may not have been in the inner circle like Peter, but I have been a friend and companion to my Lord. What greater gift could life afford a fisherman? And now one of us has to betray him? It is unthinkable. Who could it be? How could he get away with it in his own heart? Could it be me, Andrew? Is it I?
I am James, the brother of John. I followed Jesus, my brother, after he called us while we were mending our nets by the Sea of Galilee. I was with Jesus in the home of Jairus when he raised his little daughter from the sleep of death. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, we saw Jesus talking with Moses and Elijah. Last week, we made this request of him. Teacher, grant us to sit one at your right hand and the other at your left when you come into your kingdom. He replied, are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? We said, Lord, we are able. Jesus then reminded us that he who would be first may be the servant of all, and he demonstrated his words by washing our feet just before supper. He taught us that God's way was always one of love. And now, he who taught us the way of love is to be betrayed by one of those whom he loved. Why should one of us do such a thing? I keep thinking deep down inside my own heart, is it I?
My name is Matthew, and I was a tax collector at the gates of Jerusalem. When Jesus came to me and said, follow me, I had mixed emotions, for I was a very important man, and to follow Jesus meant losing all my prestige and my worldly possessions. I knew that nothing would ever be the same again if I followed Jesus. But my heart longed for something that only he could fill. And when Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, all of the confusion and unrest of my soul left. Then I knew Jesus was to be the Lord and Savior of my life. Now, once again, my heart is disturbed, for Jesus says someone is going to betray him. Could it be me? Lord, is it I?
All the bitter, weary ways, endless striving day by day, you barely have the strength to pray in the valley low. And how hard your fight has been, how deep the pain within, wounds that no one else has seen, hurts too much to show. All the doubt you're standing in between, and all the weight that brings you to your knees. He knows every hurt and every sting. He has walked the suffering. He knows, let your burdens come undone. Lift your eyes up to the one who knows. We may faint and we may sink, feel the pain and near the brink, but the darkness shrinks when you find the one who knows. the chains of doubt that held you in between. One by one are starting to break free. He knows, he knows. Every hurt and every sting, he has walked the suffering. He knows, he knows. Let your burdens come undone. Lift your eyes up to the one who knows. You feel forsaken, every time that you feel alone, he is near to the brokenhearted. Every tear, he knows, he knows. Every hurt and every sting, he has walked the suffering. He knows, he knows. Let your burdens come undone. Lift your eyes up to the one who knows. He knows. He knows. He knows. He knows.
My name is Philip. I came from Bethesda in Galilee. While several of my friends and I were in Bethany listening to John the Baptist, Jesus called us to become his disciples. During these years of close fellowship with Jesus, my faith in God has become stronger and deeper. I remember so well before he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, asking him and the others, "Where are we to buy bread that all these may eat?" Little did I know that Andrew was already bringing a young lad and his lunch to Jesus. When Jesus began to tell us that God was our Heavenly Father, it was almost beyond my understanding. However, as I have listened to the Master, I have grown to understand his words. In fact, I can almost say that he who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. But it's shocking to hear that there is a betrayer in our midst. Does the traitor not know that in betraying Jesus, he is also betraying God? Can one of our own number be so blind? Who can it be? Can it be Philip? Lord, is it I? Is it I?
I am Thomas. Many people think of me as a doubter. Deep down, I'm not. But it's because I usually demand proof before I believe. I recall the day when Mary and Martha sent word to the Lord that their brother Lazarus was dead. Jesus turned to us and said, "Let us go to him." We knew of the growing opposition to Jesus, and some of the apostles didn't want to go to Bethany. I spoke out saying, "Let us go with him that we may also die with him. Why do people remember my fear and forget my faith?" Now I can almost see Jesus rebuking the winds on stormy Galilee and healing the sick, curing the diseased, opening the eyes of the blind, unstopping the ears of the deaf, cleansing the lepers, and preaching the gospel to the poor. But opposition has developed. His enemies are determined to destroy him. Why? Because the God he reveals is a greater God than their petty little man-made deities. And now he says that even among us, the chosen 12, there is a traitor. Is he speaking of me? Is it I? Is it I?
I am John. Jesus called me to follow him when I was mending fishing nets with my father Zebedee and my brother James. What a wonderful change in my life since I met Jesus. He taught me that love is the key to life. And that's true, for it was love, God's wonderful love, that caused me to follow Jesus. And now, after that love, I had touched my life and suddenly realized that Jesus came to live and die that I, John, might have eternal life. Oh, but it hurts to hear Jesus say one of us would betray that love. Oh, Lord, I wonder, is it I? Is it I?
My name is James, but since that's a familiar name, I'm called James the Less. I shall never forget the day I first saw the Master. I was passing down the road near the place where John was baptizing. I was curious, so I turned aside for a closer look. I saw Jesus asking John to baptize him. After John had baptized the Lord, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And we heard a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Since that moment Jesus called me, I have followed him as a devoted disciple. And now, one of us is to betray him? Surely it is madness to think that could be. Surely the betrayer is out of his mind. But I keep asking myself, is it I? Is it I?
Unmute your mic.
Okay. I am Thaddeus. Jesus chose the 12 of us to become the cornerstones of the new kingdom, just as the 12 tribes of Israel were the cornerstones of the old kingdom of Jerusalem. I remember after a night in prayer, Jesus called us to him and gave us authority over unclean spirits. Then he commissioned us to go forth and preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I was in Jerusalem when he gave the great invitation, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." But now he who has come to share in man's burdens has a burden thrust upon him, the knowledge that one of us will betray him. But who could it be? Who is this traitor? Is it the man we least suspect? Or will we all betray him before the night is over? Philip, Peter, John, Judas, and even Thaddeus. Is it I? Is it I?
My name is Nathaniel. Like many of the others, I am a fisherman. I was a disciple of John the Baptizer, but it was my friend Philip who came to me and said, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote. Can any good come out of Nazareth?" I said it not in scorn, but the town was such a little insignificant place that I wondered why God placed his anointed in our midst. However, Philip simply replied, "Come and see." When I saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile." "How do you know me?" I asked. He answered, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." The Master was actually telling me that he had known me since the day I was born. That was all I needed. I believed. You know, I find it hard to believe that one of us will betray the anointed one of God. Could it be I? Is it I?
That the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, care to feel my hurt. Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours.
like the eyes that see my sin. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. Am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours. Shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I'm yours. I'm
I'm Simon the Zealot. Before Jesus called me, I belonged to the group of hot-headed, bloodthirsty revolutionaries known as the Zealots. We were all armed for rebellion against Rome and the reestablishment of King David's glorious kingdom of Israel. But now Jesus told us of another kind of kingdom, the kingdom of the human heart, where God reigns there supremely. Since I heard him, he has shown me that the conquest of the heart is the only true, sincere, and long-lasting conquest. I have unconditionally and completely surrendered myself to him. This surrender has not imprisoned me. Rather, it, for the first time in my life, has set me free. I am not afraid of Rome any longer. She is mighty, but God is almighty. Now, the master says that there is a spiritual Roman against us, amongst us, one who would attempt by force what can only be conquered by love. Who can it be? Matthew the publican? The big fisherman or his brother? Or does he suspect me, since I am the only former zealot amongst us? Is it I? Is it I?
All the others came from Galilee. My home is in the village of Kiriath in Judea. Hence, I am known as Judas Iscariot. The others must have had confidence in me because they elected me their treasurer. Despite what others say behind my back about my impatience and stinginess and ambition, Jesus believed in me. If he hadn't, he would have chosen someone else in my place. Some say that I have appropriated these funds for my own use, and that Jesus' words about the love of money and greed were personally directed to me. Others keep reminding me that Jesus was referring to me when he said, "Did I choose you 12, and one of you is the devil?" Certainly, I complained when Mary washed his feet with that expensive ointment and perfume. I still think it was a waste of money. And if I conspired with the chief priests, and if I have 30 pieces of silver on my person, that's my affair. I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But someone has to force the issue, make him assert himself as God's Messiah. He refuses to make a move. Well, I've made one. And what would you do if you were in my place and wanted him to do something dramatic and startling to usher in his kingdom? What would you do? Should I ignore his remark? Or like the others, should I piously, self-righteously ask myself, is it I? Is it I?
I am Peter, the fisherman. The master has said one of us would betray him. Was he referring to me when he said, "One of you will betray me"? If I knew who the scoundrel was, I'd pierce his heart or cut out his tongue with my dagger. Maybe it would be my own heart that I would pierce. God may not be so. Yet I keep wondering and saying to myself, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?"
Associating with Jesus is a dangerous decision for all of these disciples, and maybe even for us as well. But Jesus was upfront about it with his disciples. He told them that it would not be a safe decision to follow him, saying that anyone willing to follow him must deny themselves and take up his cross. Andrew was a fisherman in the rural town of Capernaum. He was just your average guy working the family business. He wasn't especially religious, and yet Jesus invited Andrew to follow him. After Christ's death and resurrection, Andrew spread the gospel throughout all of Russia and Greece, where he later was crucified as Jesus, except on a cross in the shape of an X. Andrew hung upon that cross for 3 days, suffering imaginable pain, but continuing to tell people around him about the love of Jesus. God used Andrew, an average and insignificant guy in some people's eyes, but he changed thousands for Christ. The next disciple, maybe that I want to talk a few minutes about, or just a moment, is Peter. We're familiar with Peter. Peter was a hot-tempered guy who often put his foot in his mouth. He lacked faith in Jesus, denying Jesus on 3 separate occasions the night that Jesus was betrayed. However, God transformed Peter into a man so full of faith that on some occasions, the mere shadow falling upon the sick, they would miraculously be healed. And after Pentecost, Peter fiercely proclaimed the gospel to everyone, Jew and Gentile. While in Rome, he had the choice to avoid crucifixion or go into a hiding. Instead, he chose to surrender himself and was crucified by Emperor Nero. Peter asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't consider himself worthy to be crucified in the same manner as the Lord Jesus. God transformed Peter to a man of such great faith and courage, he was willing to be martyred for the Lord. Then there's Thomas, one of the 12. He was not with the disciples following Jesus' resurrection. So the other disciples found Thomas and said, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the scars on his hand and put my fingers where the nails were, I will not believe it." A week later, Jesus came and stood among the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it on my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas fell to his knees and said, "My Lord, my God." Thomas went to preach the gospel throughout all of Persia. From there, he traveled to India, where he also died a martyr. Thomas excited the rage of a pagan priest while he was preaching, and he was martyred by being thrust through with a spear. God changed Thomas's heart that was once riddled with doubt and filled him with faith until the very end when he gave his life for the Lord. There's the other disciples, John, the beloved. He was put on the Isle of Patmos after escaping without injury from a pot of boiling oil, the only disciple to not be martyred. Of course, Andrew was put on a cross shaped like an X. James the elder was put to death by Herod Agrippa. And James, as he is being led away to the place of martyrdom, the accuser that turned him in so moved by James that he made the confession that he was a Christian and that James shouldn't receive the crown of martyrdom alone, but he was also martyred. Philip was scourged and thrown into prison, afterward crucified. Nathaniel was cruelly beaten and crucified upside down. Matthew was slain with a pickaxe. James the Less was beaten and stoned. Thaddeus was crucified. Simon crucified. And I think about these men that went before us. I mean, think about this. Just think of historically speaking. I mean, yes, it is a step of faith to believe Jesus and that he's Lord and that he died on the cross for our sins and he rose from the grave on the third day that we'll celebrate next Sunday. It takes faith to believe. But think about this. If it was all false, if it was all fiction, why would these men that walked with Jesus for 3 years choose themselves to die a martyr's death? But see, they paved the way for something for us. Passed down through them and a few others, we have the New Testament that gives us the good news. And because of the good news, an invitation is made to you. I mean, think about it. There's really no other greater invitation than that to submit ourselves fully to the Lord Jesus. But also to submit ourselves that he have his full work in us. And I was thinking about that. If I could just have one row of lights. I was just thinking about that invitation. You know, this morning we have Valerie, and the scripture came to my mind, and Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 15. And maybe her testimony this morning moves something in your heart. You see, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:15 that our feet should be shod with a gospel of peace and to be prepared. Why? To preach the gospel. And so an invitation is given. And maybe some of you heard that invitation this morning. Maybe some of you, you're like Thomas. And you're wondering, is this all really real? Did this actually happen? This is just my parents' and grandparents' religion. But yet, Christ still invites you to come and see and find out that Christ will change your life forever. Maybe you're in this room and you're carrying burdens that nobody else knows about. And you need that promise in Matthew 11:28 that says, come to me, all who are heavy laden and burdened. And so Christ gives you an invitation. Are you following me this morning? Maybe you're in this place and what you need is an encounter. I mean, an encounter with the Creator of the universe. You need him to show himself real in a powerful way that you'll never be the same. He gives you the invitation. And so my question to you, see, he makes the invitation You know what? Maybe you need your strength renewed like the eagle. Maybe you need the Holy Spirit to do a work in you and to energize you and to lift weight off of you. You know what? He gives you an invitation. He gives you an invitation to say, you know what? Nobody else may see it, but I see it. Would you come to me? Maybe you say to yourself, who am I? Like Shaylee sang the special. Maybe God's promise to you is Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, where he says, you're my masterpiece. I created and formed you to do my wonderful works. And so this morning, the invitation's been given. You see, these disciples, they're not at this table anymore. But Christ is inviting you. And he says, will you come to my table?